Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
If you want to know where we're going, you can open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. I know some of you have brought friends with you. Maybe everyone doesn't have a Bible. And I'm going to, this morning, we don't normally do this, but I'm going to put some of the scripture that is on my heart to share with you up on the screen. And the title of the message today is the Easter Principle. The Easter Principle, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the Easter Principle. You know, there's a few principles in the Bible that absolutely cover over all of the scripture itself. They're everywhere. They're not in one passage. They're not over in Mark chapter 4. There's some principles like a thread that weave themselves through the tapestry of God's Word and only really emerge as you study the entirety of God's Word. One of those would be, you reap what you sow. Doesn't really matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I say. Fact is, God will make sure we reap what we sow. That's a universal principle in God's Word. Another universal principle in God's Word is that the generous man will prosper. I can't explain it to you exactly, but generous people get God's favor in a variety of ways. And stingy people, they just kind of struggle through life, counting up the little pile they have, and they can't figure out why it is exactly that God doesn't bless them with joy, with peace, with fulfillment, and all of these things. What's wrong with me exactly? Well, you're breaking the universal principle. The generous person prospers in a variety of ways. God make us generous people. It's a universal principle. Another one is the last will be first. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but that keeps me awake at night a little bit. And I can just tell you there's going to be a lot of surprises when we get to heaven. And some of the people that the world said these were the most famous, the most popular, the most this, the most that, they're going to the end of the line. And some of the people that we don't even know, their name's never been in lights, you've never seen them, but God sees them. And somehow in eternity, this is a universal principle, the last will be first. Now today I want to talk to you about a universal principle, and it's from Romans chapter 8, though we're going to be turning in our Bibles today. And Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 9, says this. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So if you reverse that, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So everyone who belongs to him has the Spirit of Christ. If you're one of God's children, you have God's Spirit. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life. Because of righteousness, dead because of sin, life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him, here's the Easter message, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life, everyone say life, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Again, the end there. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Life to you through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, I'm not just going to lunge into this message. I'm going to take a moment and pray. And why don't you pray with me, all right? Let's all pray together. Father, we take this moment to bow. First of all, so that I can just say what is in my heart to say, and that is that this stammering, imperfect messenger cannot possibly communicate the depth of the life that is found in this Easter principle. Nor can these who are listening because of sin, because of ourselves, because of distractions, because of our humanity, our ears are dull. We just don't hear what we're supposed to hear. But if you by your Spirit could allow this messenger to speak with clarity, and you by your Spirit could allow these to hear what the Spirit says to the church, oh God, we would be blessed and we would be built up and we would give you thanks and the greater glory because our hearts and lives belong to you this day. And so we ask for your help in this, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Easter principle, here it is. You have to die if you want to live. All right? That's the Easter principle, and it is all through God's Word. This is always true, everywhere in Scripture, everywhere in life, the Easter principle, you have to die if you want to live. Or stated another way, you will never experience the life of Christ if you don't experience a death. This is true in salvation. This is true in sanctification. This is true in your career. This is true in your marriage. This is true in your parenting. This is true in your finances. This is true everywhere. You will not experience the life that Jesus rose from the tomb to give you. That power, there's got to be a death, All right? And the Easter principle, you have to die if you want to live. The life of Christ begins when I come to the end of myself. The life of Christ continues every step of the way as I come to a new beginning, a fresh end of myself. As long as it's about me, as long as it's about my plan, as long as it's about watch me now, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to handle this, I'm going to get all over this, as long as it's me, the life of Christ is not part of what's happening. The Easter principle is this: you have to die if you want to live. Not just at salvation, it starts there, but at every step of the Christian life, as you receive the Lord, so walk in Him. You have to die if you want to live. Let's lift up our voice and say that. What's the Easter principle? Say it. Come on, the whole church, we're all together now. Lift up your voice. I want to hear it. What's the Easter principle? You're like, Pastor James, you keep saying it, saying it, saying it. Aren't you going to show it to us in the Bible? Yes, I am. Flip back in, from Romans 8 to Romans 5. And we're going to go to many scriptures this morning. I want you to see how this thread weaves its way through all of Scripture. Romans chapter 5 says, verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more," everyone say much more, "much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." The death of Christ as payment for our sin frees us from the penalty of sin. But the life of Christ as provision to free us from the power of sin. Most Christians get the Good Friday thing. Jesus died for my sin. He died to pay the penalty for my sin so I can be forgiven. If you don't get that, I hope you'll get that for yourself today by faith. Most Christians, though, they understand the Good Friday principle. Very few get the Easter principle. Not just Jesus dying to pay for my sin, but on Easter, Jesus alive for me, transforming me. That's a little bit of heaven right now. The life of Jesus Christ in me. It's the Easter principle. Notice again there in verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son," that's Good Friday, "much more now, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." That's Easter. Saved, sanctified, transformed by the living Christ. Many Christians don't get this. Very many don't. See, there is a life. Jesus Christ is alive. Do you get it? All right? He's alive in the universe. He's alive in the United States of America. He's alive in Illinois. He's alive here in the Northwest suburbs. He's alive right here in this room right now. And Jesus Christ wants to live His life through you. But there's got to be a death, see? He's not going to fight with you. He's not going to argue with you. He's not going to strain past you on your own, me on my own. And see, I want to experience that. This was Paul's consuming desire. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, where Paul says, speaking of the same subject, that I may know Him. I want to know Him. How, Paul? How do you want to know Him? He says, well, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Everyone wants that. Everyone wants the power of the resurrection, but nobody wants the death. Everybody wants the life of Christ in me, but nobody wants to die to the thing you have to die to experience that. Paul wanted it. The power that silenced the soldiers and rolled the stone, Paul wanted it. The power that overcame sin and death and brought Jesus Christ back from the grave, it's available to us, and Paul wanted it. Paul said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Look at Philippians 3:10, he tells you how. Becoming like Him in His death. There has to be a death. You have to become like Him. That word become there, Paul was like, I want it, I want it, I want the power. I want it. Like a little kid. I want it. Everyone say, I want it. I want it. No, say it like I was saying it. I want it. I want the power. Because you get a little tired of the Christian life without power, don't you? How many people get a little tired of rules without a way how? Without the infusion of Christ Himself to live the Christian life. I want the power. He says, I'm telling you how to get it. You have to be conformed to His death. And the word there, becoming like Him in His death, translated in our Bibles, actually is the Greek word morphe. And it's the idea you have to morph, you have to change. And there were some things about Jesus in His death. You say, well, what things? Well, things like this. I want to be just as submissive as Christ was as He went to the cross. Not striving, but silent. Not resisting, but resting. as they spit upon him and mocked him and forced a crown of thorns down upon his head. I want to be like Jesus was. I want to be dead to that. You think about the things that trouble you and trial you and discourage you and challenge you in your life. I'm telling you, there has to be a dying to your own effort in those things if you want to experience the power of Christ living through you. And so many people are not. Paul said, I wanted it. And he said, I'm going after it. I'm going to become like him in his death, just as submissive, just as silent, just as resting, just as trusting. You say, how did Jesus become like that? Study what happened to him in the garden. That's how Jesus became like that. First, he goes and he says to his father, take this cup away from me. He was talking about the cup filled with the suffering that he was going to go through as payment for sin. He says, Father, take this cup away from me. And then he went back and the disciples were sleeping and he went back and he was like, Lord, if possible, take this cup away from me. He went back a third time and prayed slightly differently. He prayed, if it's not possible to take this cup away from me, your will be done. See, he was submitting to God. He was dying to his own desire there in his humanity. So much so that in John chapter 18, verse 11, it says that they got up to go out. The Roman soldiers were there. Peter, who'd been sleeping the whole time, dying to nothing, he stands up and cuts the guy's ear off. And Jesus turns and looks at Peter just moments before, just a few hours before, he'd been saying, take it away. And now he looks at Peter and the rest and he says, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Do you see the death there? He had already, in his heart, in his spirit, he had already been to the cross. He had died to all of that. That's why as he walked on the road and they spit on him and falsely accused him and mocked him, he was silent. I'm telling you, the life of God flows through your life when you die to your own self and your own self-effort. Many more scriptures teach this. Hosea chapter 6, let's flip back there. We studied this last year. Hosea chapter 6 talks about how God works in our lives. It says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us. He is the one, the Hebrew means. God himself has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. In the biblical times, a person had to be dead for 3 days before they were considered really dead. Jesus, that death was never in doubt because they thrust a spear in his side as he was on the cross. They knew he was dead. People read this passage here and it says, Hosea 6:2, after 2 days he will raise us up. On the third day he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. See, the life comes after the dying. People are like, cool, look at that there. And Hosea 6:2, it's a resurrection. That's talking about Jesus' resurrection. No, it's not. It's talking about yours, all right? It's talking about mine. It's talking about how it takes time to come to the end of my own efforts. It really does. I want to show you another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This thread is all through God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 gives this incredible assurance. It says in verse 8, we are afflicted in every way. How many people feel like that sometimes in your life? Man, it's coming at me from every angle. How many people have felt like that before? We are afflicted in every way, it says. Notice in the text, though, but not crushed. Perplexed, confused, I don't know what to do, but not despairing. Notice it says, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Man, that is the life that all of us want to live. I want to be perplexed, but not in despair. I want to be persecuted, but not forsaken. I want to be the person who rises up when I get knocked down. Notice he tells you how. Verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. Hello, hello, that's the Easter principle right there. How is it that I'm struck down but not destroyed? How is it that I'm perplexed but not in despair? Here it is. Always carrying about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded he just died to it all. It couldn't touch him. It couldn't get him where he was. He gave up all his self and his feelings and what he wanted and his agenda as a man, as a human, and the fear and the uncertainty and those things which could have captured his heart. He didn't allow it. He died to all of it. And if I want to get victory over the things in my life, I've got to die to those things too. I got to remind Jesus, yeah, always carrying about in my body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in my body. Every person comes to this. Every person comes to this. I don't know how many of you watch reality TV. How many people have watched a reality TV show in the last month or so? Put up your hand, be honest, because I don't watch TV. But how many people here have, just kidding, how many people, honestly, put your hand right up. See, I've done that. So some of them are good, some of them are the original reality TV show was, does anyone know? survivor. It was those people on the island, you know, and who's going to get voted off and all that. Well, this season, it's on the island of Fiji. They started with 20 people on Survivor. They're down to 10 now. And one man, interestingly, I've been told this repeatedly, now I've verified it. One man who's on this show, Survivor, right now, an Asian man named Mookie, attends Harvest Bible Chapel. We got someone on Survivor. How cool is that? And here's a picture of him. So cheer for Mookie. It's not over yet. But the cool thing is he's already back at Harvest. He's here this morning somewhere. I won't make him stand. But someday in the future, because we don't know what happens yet, you know, we don't know. But when we're allowed to know in 10 weeks or something, then we'll have him get up and share his testimony. But I already know some of it. He said, Pastor James, he says, when I went away to go to this island, to go on this Survivor show, he said, my life wasn't where it needed to be with God. I wasn't walking with God the way that I wanted to. I wasn't as close to the Lord as I should. There were some unsettled things in my life. But, you know, they put him on this island. It's so exhausting and no sleep hardly and so stressful. And one day, he says, I went for like 14 days. There was no food. I mean, literally starving. And I'm telling you, you do without some things. You start to struggle. I mean, he's had a life-changing experience on this just to hear him talk about his heart for the Lord. And now when the show's over, of course, they tour around the country. And he says, Pastor, I want to do such a better job, Pastor James, of speaking up for the Lord and sharing what Christ has done for me. And I understand what he's talking about. See, you have to come to the end of yourself. There has to be a death. You want the life of Christ? You want this to be, look up here. You want this to be more than some you know, Easter at the Sears Center. Woohoo! Easter is an amen. And right back to my defeat. Right back to my lame life where I can't stand in the face of temptation. I'm such a coward when things are uncertain. I run and hide at the first sight of anything difficult in my life. That's not what Jesus rose from the dead to provide. But if you want to experience the life of Christ in you, in your family, where you work, there's got to be a death. It's the Easter principle. Always caring about in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in me. Back to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you that again. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now, how many people want the life? That's showing it to you in Scripture. Put up your hand if you want this life. I want this life, Pastor. I want this life, James. I want it. I want it. I want it. I'm like Paul. I want it. Lift up your voice and say that. Okay, you got to want it. And the Easter principle is, if you're going to have it, you have to die if you want to live. Now, we see it in Scripture. Let me give a couple of other illustrations quickly. I don't want you to think I just made this up. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:36. In just a moment, I am about to get incredibly specific about your life, but I'm laying a foundation now. Just turn to your neighbor and say, he's laying a foundation. Let's go ahead. Good. And I'm glad you understand that. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:36, all right? It says, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. See, we see this in the human body. 1 Corinthians 15 is the classic text in the New Testament about resurrection, Jesus and ours. And he says, you foolish person. But he's not like slamming you. He's not like fool. I see you there. That's not what he's doing. In fact, some of your translations say foolish ones. It's more like children. Children. Don't you get it? Foolish ones. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You say, well, what do we sow? Let me tell you what we sow. We sow our effort. We work hard. I want a better marriage. I want a strong career. I want to serve God faithfully. We sow our effort. A lot of people put out a lot of effort. We sow our emotions. We pour our feelings into our family and into our children and into the things that matter to us. We sow our energies, our efforts. We sow our emotions. And here's one. We sow our expectations. I think to myself, if I'm this kind of a parent for this many years, I'm going to get this. If I'm this kind of a Christian for this many years, I'm going to get this. And we sow our expectations. If I'm this kind of person at work, eventually my boss will figure out and he'll show up someday and say, you are awesome. That hasn't happened yet. And so I'm sowing my expectations. Foolish ones, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. All right? there has to be a death. It's the Easter principle. So many places here. You know, but he's illustrating it here in this context from the human body. And I remember we have three children. They're all here today. And I remember when each of our children was born, we had to go to those classes, you know? And guys, how many guys here had to go to those birth classes? Man, that thing is a joke, okay? No offense to anybody if that's what you do for a living. God bless you. And it did make us feel a little connected, but it was sort of a cheat, really, because we were doing all this, you know, and we're going to breathe together, Kathy and I. And I'm going to go, he, whoo. And we're going to breathe together, and we'll be having the baby together. Let me tell you something. About 10 minutes into this, she was like, step away from the vehicle. All right? We were not going, ladies, am I right? We were not going through this together. All right? Only one person at our house had a baby, and it wasn't me. I heard a man say one time, well, I heard that having a baby, I heard that that's kind of like passing a kidney stone. To which the woman in my presence said, yeah, try passing a watermelon, then we'll talk. Okay? And some people say that having a baby, that's kind of like a death experience. You come like right to the end, but out of that comes life. And the joy of the life eclipses the pain of that experience immensely. I asked Kathy about it last night. I called her and, honey, I'm going to say this thing in my sermon. Tell me a little bit again about it, because you think I can't remember. She said to me, James, it's funny. Everyone told us that we would forget about how hard that was. Now our kids are grown. We got two in college. And it's true. She said, I don't really think about that anymore. The joy of the life displaces the death. We see this illustrated in nature, in human life, the Easter principle. You have to die if you want to live. Well, here's a great scripture. Turn over to John 12, 24, from the lips of Jesus Christ himself, where he said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Do you see the Easter principle there? You got to die if you want to live. And we understand that. If I took a little kernel of corn and came over to your house and we had some dinner together, I said, I'm going to just put this up here on the sill over the kitchen sink. And I came back to your house in a year, what would that be like? It would be very hard and very lifeless. But if you take that same seed and take it out and put it into the ground, unless a kernel of corn dies, falls into the ground, there's a falling in the dying, unless it falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus was talking about his own body and what he would do. He was prophesying about his own death, that he would fall into the ground and die and abide alone and bring forth much fruit. That's why we're here today. Listen, this is true in the gospel. With this many people in one place this morning, there have to be people here who have never turned from their sin and embraced Jesus Christ by faith for your forgiveness. Someone dragged you here today. It's Easter. You're going to church whether you want to or not, and here you are. Well, we're glad you're here. But I think I understand what that's like a little bit. And now the preacher's up, and you feel like you're kind of getting a little cornered. Let me just say, as lovingly and sincerely as I know how, God's not so interested in you going to church. God's not so interested in you owning a Bible. God wants your heart. And you cannot have a personal relationship with God apart from turning from your sin and embracing Jesus Christ by faith as the only basis for your forgiveness. He's the only way. He's the only hope. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead to prove that he's God. And if you would turn from your sin today and fall upon Jesus Christ, you could have your sins forgiven now and for all of eternity. And if you decide not to do that, there is no hope for you without God and without Christ as you would step into eternity. But today could be your day. Today could be your time. You could find Jesus Christ. You came reluctantly. You came unwillingly. You came uncertainly. But here you are now. And by God's grace, you could respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. Yeah, amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have had our lives transformed by him, all right? We're not smoking something. We're not laying up awake dreaming this up, all right? This is real to us. Jesus Christ has changed our life, and he'll do that for you too. But you got to come to the end of yourself. There has to be a dying. You're like, well, I kind of thought that if I was just a good person, you know, and I kind of, you know, I try to be good to my wife, and I try to be good to my kids, and I kind of just thought that if I was a good person, that somehow that'd be enough. But God's word says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. The Bible says that for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself, okay? You have to die to that. If you want to live, if you want the life of Christ, if you want eternal life, you got to die to the I can do it program, all right? Now, that's not only true as you become a Christian. That's true every step of the way in the Christian life. It's true throughout Scripture. It's true in the human body. It's true in nature. Of course, it's true even in the time cycles. Think about the seasons. Summer, fall, what comes next? Winter, spring. We love this time of year, doesn't feel coldest Easter in a long time. But we know, how many people have faith to believe spring's coming? All right? And the reason I know spring's coming is because I went through the winter. And after winter comes spring. It's the way things work. Psalm 35 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. All right? Joy comes in the morning. And there may be some hard times in your life. There may be some difficult things, but after the death comes the life. If you have faith to receive it. Now, that's the Easter principle in Scripture. That's the Easter principle in nature. Now, I want to take the remaining moments I have and talk to you about the Easter principle in your life. In your life, all right? And just turn back with me to that one passage that I must have read this hundreds of times this week. 1 Corinthians 15. Foolish ones. Really, I think his tone here is precious ones. Don't you get this yet? Loved ones, don't you have this? What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Remember what we sow. We sow with our mind. Our expectations, we sow with our emotions, all the things we feel, we sow with our will, the things we do, our efforts, we would say with our heart and soul. How many times have you said this? I put my heart and soul into that, and you feel like nothing came from it, see? But you got to die to that. If you don't die, it can't live. It just can't. It has to die. I'm going to talk to you in just a moment about a list of things that I think we really need to die to. But you have to come to the place where you say, here it is, let me tell you how. You say, James, how do I die? You have to come to the place where you say from your heart, it's not enough. Just turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, it's not enough. Look up here. You have to mean this. You have to say, as it relates to whatever is straining you, whatever is burdening you, whatever is breaking your heart, as it relates to your salvation, you have to say, it's not enough. I can't do this myself. As it relates to so many different things that we face, you have to come to the place where you say from your heart, it's not enough. And you know, when you do die to something, I want you to know this. It's not the way it looks, okay? I have my parents are here this morning, and I won't make them stand, but I'm so glad to have my mom and dad here today. And all four of my grandparents are in eternity now. And I remember as a child, I went and stood, and then as a young man, and then even more recently here, since I've been pastoring the church, I went and stood at the casket right there with each of my grandparents. And I remember reaching out and touching my grandmother's hand and my grandfather's hand, and dead. But see, here's the thing. It's not the way it looks. When you anticipate dying to something, you think, that's going to be so awful, that's going to be so cold, that's going to be so painful. But it isn't like that. D.L. Moody said, someday you'll read in the paper that D.L. Moody has died. Don't believe that, for at that moment I will be more alive than I have ever been before. And what I'm trying to tell you is that if you want the Easter principle, you got to get on the other side of it. You got to get over yourself. You got to die to your own efforts and your own energies. And you say, well, that looks like that's going to be really hard. Well, but listen, right on the other side of that, there is a life of Christ that flows into you and into your experience. Jot these four things down. Things we do instead of dying. Things we do instead of dying. I think I might have died to that. I think I might have. No. Things we do instead of dying. Number, I alliterated them for you. They all start with S. Here's four of them. The first one, spewing. Yeah, somebody needs to die around here, but it's not me. And we put it on other people, and I'm not the problem, and I'm not the one who's stirring this up, and I'm not the one, and we spew it on others. Or here's one, stalling. Yeah, I guess I have been gripping my kids a little too tightly there, and I'm going to die to that at some point, but, you know, not today. And we kind of fight for every last breath instead of really giving them over to God. Or here's one, spewing, stalling, signs and symptoms. We have all the pains of the illness of self, all the pains of the illness of pride and me and my way, and I'm going to control this. We have all the signs and symptoms. We look like someone who could go any minute, but we just keep on living in that debilitated way, fighting to make it happen. Oh, here's the worst one, things we do instead of dying. Spewing, stalling, signs and symptoms, swooning. How many people have swooned? It's like where you fake the death, you know? I am done with that. I am so done with that addiction. I will never go back to that. And then everyone's like, oh, thank God he finally died to that thing, man. That needed to be out of his life for a long time. And then in some like creepy way, 3 weeks later, he's like, I'm back. And that's called swooning. You faked like you died, but you didn't really get over it. You didn't. Now I want to get very specific. Everyone say, get specific. Can you handle it? Here it comes. Specific things we die to. I've mentioned it already. You need to die to self-salvation. I'll get to God myself. If you, many of you here have made that decision, look up here, but if you have never made the decision to die to, I'll prove to God, I'll earn it, religion, I'll go to church, I'll be a better person. If you have never died to that, you have never experienced eternal life. You have to die to self-salvation. Here's one. You have to die to shallow spirituality. Oh, I am saved, but I just go to church and I get the check mark and I go home. I show up at Christmas and Easter. I'm around a little bit on the fringes, but I'm not following God. I'm not experiencing the life of Christ through me. Shallow spirituality. You got to die to that. You got to say, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm going to follow God for the rest of my life with my whole heart. That's what I'm going to do. Have a funeral for that shallow spirituality, all right? Just have a funeral for it. I am dead to that now. Well, here's one. Specific things we need to die to. People-pleasing. How many people need to die to people-pleasing? You know, I'd put my hand up, but I don't think that my wife would like that. That's what I'm talking about, all right? How many people need to die to people-pleasing? Man, I just need to get over all the time I spend thinking about other people and will they like me and am I okay and are you impressed with me? I'm telling you, you cannot make other people. Look up here. You cannot make people love you. You be the person God wants you to be. You be the person God created you to be. You need to once and for all have the funeral to pleasing other people. You need to be able to say from your heart, man, I'm dead to that. I'm going to live the Easter principle. You got to die if you want to live. Let's die to people pleasing. Oh, here's one. Changing others. Some are into people pleasing and some are into changing others. You control freak. Okay? And that's my thing, and I'm going to make my husband the person I want him to be, and I'm going to take hold of this, and I'm never going to stop talking, pushing, prodding, pressuring, praying, pleading, all of the things that I... You should have the funeral for that right here today, all right? You cannot change other people. You can't make people love you, and you can't change other people. This would be good. Just turn to the person near you and say, I can't change you. Tell them. To which you want to reply, yeah, you sure have been trying, though. All right? You got to have the funeral for that, man. You got to let that go. You cannot change other people. You can't do it. And look up here. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I've told some of you before about how I was trying to change my daughter. What a fool I was. She has become more than I had ever hoped or dreamed. She is one of the great delights of my life. And every good thing has flown from the funeral when I came to the end of myself and said, I'm going to stop trying to change the people in my family. I'm going to let God do it. I'm telling you, get past the death and watch the life of Christ flow into your situation. There's people right now in our church going through heart-rending trials. I don't know how they're going to come out of it, but I know this. Until they die to the life they thought they were going to have, I thought my marriage would be like this. I thought my situation would be like this. I thought. You got to die to all of that. And when you do, the life of Christ will flow into that in a way that will blow your mind. People-pleasing, changing others. Oh, here's the hardest one. I saved it for last. Some of you here today, you need to die to your dreams. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you had some dreams when you were young. You weren't even smart enough to know what you wanted to do with your life. But you're hanging on to that thing like it's everything. Let it go, man. Let it go. Sometimes you have to die to your dreams. You're like, we came over to church to hear this? Die to your dreams? I thought you go to church to hear, have your dreams. Well, you're at the wrong church if that's what you think, all right? All right? I don't want my dreams for my life. I want God's dreams for my life. I want to get off my program. I want to get on God's program. All right? I could even have some dreams for my life, and I could go out as a man, and I could accomplish some of those things. But what would that mean in eternity? I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to go where God wants me to go. I want to say what God wants me to say. But you got to have the funeral for your own dreams. You say, well, when I was young, I sort of pictured myself having a marriage like this, and I can't believe I made the choice I made. Or some of you are like, I thought I'd be married by now and have kids, but I'm still not married. You got to have the funeral for what you diagrammed by yourself, and you got to let God take the architect's pencil and draw out your life for himself. Listen, it's the Easter principle. You got to die if you want to live. You got to let go of the things that you've been trying to pull off to experience all that God can do. You say, well, yeah, well, what have you died to? You want to talk about that for a minute? Oh, my goodness. How life changes. When I was in high school, promise you won't laugh. Say promise. I wanted to be a basketball star. I wanted to play. I was in Canada. I wanted to play in the Olympics. I mean, I really wanted to do that. It seems silly now. I did die to that. Then I wanted to be a successful businessman. Nothing wrong with that. That's an awesome thing if that's what God wants you to do. But then I thought God wanted me in ministry. I wanted to be a youth pastor. I never wanted to be this guy. I could tell you flat out I did not want to be this guy. I was like, I'll be the youth pastor guy, you know, hang with the kids and everything. That seems like that'd be cool. And we got awesome youth pastors in our church. But I didn't want to be this guy. Had to have the funeral for that too. I wanted to be a pastor who pastored one church on one campus. That's what I wanted to do. I had to have the funeral for that, and I'm so glad, thank God we did. Amen. Listen, every time I have died to what I wanted and given it to God and said, Lord, come do what you want to do, every time I have had first the death, then the resurrection, I have never, never regretted it. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you here today, you need to have a funeral. You flat out need to have a funeral right here. You meet somebody this week. Listen to me now. I'm done. You need to, when you meet somebody this week, they say to you, what'd you do this weekend? You need to say, I went to a funeral at the Sears Center. They're like, wow, at the Sears Center. That must be some really impressive person that they had to have such a big room to have their funeral in. Who died? To which you need to reply, I did. It was my funeral. I had to die to my dream. I had to die to my trying to change others. I had to die to trying to please other people. Galatians 1:10 says, if I seek the favor of man, I cannot be the servant of Christ. And so some of you all need to have a funeral right here, right now. It's the Easter principle. You got to die if you want to live. Say it. Last time, lift up your voice. Say it.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.